I'm at the ETL West conference with Kelly Davis-Fellner, Director of Client Marketing at Bazaar Voice. How are you, Kelly?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for speaking with me. Bazaar Voice is definitely a company that's been around, is a leading provider of reviews, but I know that there are other things that have been developing in Bazaar Voice. So can you tell me about the new products?
Yeah, sure. So most people do know us as kind of the ratings and reviews leader, and that's certainly a big part of what we still do. We've expanded both in terms of our consumer-generated content offerings, and we have now for several years been offering, in addition to ratings and reviews, a product called Curations. And Curations is a way to kind of harvest visual social content. So if you imagine videos and photos that are coming from Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, being able to kind of harvest and curate that content and then display it on a product page or someplace else in your website. So that is one way that we've kind of expanded the consumer-generated content offerings. We have a couple of other things that also increase the SEO value for the work that you're doing in consumer-generated content. The other exciting area that Bazaar Voice has been working in now more recently is something that leverages the data that we are able to collect. So when you think about a company like Bazaar Voice, we see about 3 out of every 4 shoppers in the United States shopping on numerous brand and retailer websites. And what that enables us to do is to really get a good picture of kind of who's in market for what at different times. And so based on that data asset, we've crafted an advertising product that really targets folks who are a little bit more down funnel. We kind of are able to build shopper segments for advertisers that are highly targeted and then deliver a very high return on ad spend because of the targeting that we're able to do. And that product has been in market now for a couple of years and is doing very, very well. We've had a lot of repeat business in that product and are really pleased with how well it's performing, and so are the clients. So that's been really great news.
Great. Going back to the concept of reviews, reviews are extremely important and helpful in conversion. How does Bazaar Voice make sure that the reviews are authentic on websites?
First, I'd like to just talk about sort of to your point about, this is not our first year of having ratings and reviews on websites, and it does seem like it has, kind of been a while, and is it getting tired or old? And we've been very pleased, of course, to see that that has not been the case. And in fact, there's a couple of things that we've seen. We do an annual report on sort of the state of the industry and kind of what kinds of results our clients are seeing. And both from a revenue per visitor standpoint and also from a conversion lift standpoint, we actually saw from 2015 to 2016 a significant increase in conversion lift and revenue per visitor after shoppers engage with ratings and reviews. So that's a fancy way of saying that ratings and reviews are still very, very important and still do drive conversion, and you can make the case that they're more important than ever. And certainly when we do consumer research, we've found that ratings and reviews are absolutely kind of a market table stakes that, consumers absolutely seek across categories. Even when it's not a particularly high consideration product, consumers are very well, kind of well adapted to looking for review content. The other trend that we're seeing kind of in the ratings and review space is that there's a very strong worldwide growth. So, certainly in the United States and North America, in Western Europe, reviews are a very, very well established, kind of market trend. But when we looked at the data for 2016, we were also seeing pretty significant traction in kind of markets that are, maybe potentially a little bit less mature from an e-commerce standpoint. So if you think about BRIC countries or places like that, ratings and reviews are growing there, the volume of ratings and reviews, and then certainly consumer behavior is following behind.
There are basically two ways that ratings can be non-authentic. One is a competitor is providing not a negative review. The other one is the brand itself. How do you handle these kind of things in, for example, your contracts with your customers or enforcement?
Yeah, so fake reviews don't help anybody. They don't help brands, they don't help retailers, and they're certainly no good for consumers. So we have been had a long time, we've taken a stand against fake reviews, and we have a very stringent authenticity policy that is an element of the contracts that we establish with the brands and retailers that engage with us. And they set very, very clear rules about making sure that only authentic content will be posted, and any customer that does things that kind of fly in the face of that policy is going to hear from us, and we'll work with them to make sure they understand the policy and kind of get back on the right track. And the way that we enforce authenticity is a combination of kind of some machine learning and really, really smart kind of computing, and then good old human beings. So we have what we call moderators who touch almost every piece of content, and they do that in 37 languages for all of the content that's processed on the Bazaar Voice platform. And we found that the combination of computers and human beings are pretty good at spotting fake reviews and keeping those off of our site.
Great. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Every piece of content, at some point in time, it is touched by or reviewed by a human being?
Yeah, so essentially the, kind of the steps that are followed are a machine touches it first, and, maybe if something's just a star rating or, very brief, and there's nothing that kind of flags the automated processing, a review may end up just being published straight away. But anything that's got a substantial amount of content, or if there's certainly any question, a moderator is going to touch. We have our moderators moderate the content for a variety of reasons, not just for authenticity, but also for things like making sure there aren't swear words or things like that. Now, what our moderators don't do is they don't hide negative reviews, and it's really important to understand that. And we tell our clients that negative reviews are an important part of painting a full picture of a product, and they can, alert you to problems with a product, and they also overall make the review experience much better for the consumer. So while our moderators will hold back content that appears fake or that has inappropriate content or unrelated content or political content or things like that, what they won't do is suppress a review just because it's negative.
How do you respond and take care of people that have negative reviews? If you reply defensively and you don't take care of it, it actually turns out to be much more damaging. As opposed to if you handle a negative review in a positive way, it actually becomes a positive review.
Absolutely. We advise our clients to engage really closely with their review content and to look at their negative reviews. And, we have tons of great stories about people fixing products or, inventing new products. There's a published story that we have with the Container Store that is kind of a legendary one. Everybody loved this plastic shoebox they developed, but their negative reviews and their kind of middle-of-the-road reviews were saying things like, I just wish it was big enough for my high-heeled shoes. So, great opportunity there. So what do you think Container Store did? They created a line extension for that product. But we hear all the time from clients about how they fixed a product or were able to respond and review content and build, really essentially build what becomes a much more of an advocacy program out of kind of engaging with customers in the content.
What about all the social channels now? Consumers are talking about products everywhere, especially on social channels. Does Bazaar Voice do anything to mine that data?
That is really why we developed our curations product, because there's so much, particularly in the visual world, there's so much happening on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter where people are talking about the things that they buy, and in particular categories, if you think about something like fashion or beauty or things like that, there's just a ton of content out there. And so we wanted to help our clients bring that a little bit closer to the shopping process. And so harvesting that content and curating it and presenting it sort of at the point of research has been a really valuable experience for our clients and has driven a lot of business value. It also helps our clients kind of identify who their advocates are, and then if they want to build an advocacy program or do more engaging in social. The other thing we've done is we really, you know, we watch our clients and look at who's doing this the best, right? Like, who are the people who have amazing consumer-generated content programs, and what else do they do? And typically, you know, if somebody's doing a great job with consumer content on their own sites, they've also got really, really good social programs where they're listening in social channels and engaging with their fans and their detractors in social channels in a very kind of public conversation, which we think is a terrific practice to build brand loyalty.
Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit about your specific role and what your team does. You're in client marketing. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so it is probably one of the most fun jobs at Bazaar Voice. We are, you know, if you kind of think of us as like the scaled version of our client success organization. So what our client success organization is doing one-to-one is making sure our clients are successful and making sure they're happy and that they are working with us in all the ways they should. We do more scaled programs like thought leadership programs and events and things like that to, first of all, make sure our clients are getting the most out of the products they've bought from us and make sure they're happy with them and they know how to win with consumer-generated content. And then obviously, of course, you know, happy clients buy more, and we'd love to have them do that and work with them, you know, in kind of a broader partnership. So some of our programs are focused on that as well. One of our most fun projects is our big client conference is coming up. It's called our summit, and it's actually next week. So it's been really, really fun to put together kind of a thought leadership conference for our clients, and I'm really looking forward to getting them all together next week.
Great, and that's when the new CGC index report also is coming out, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So every year we produce this thing called the CGC index, which is, it takes data both from our platform as well as a big client survey that we do and sort of say, what happened in this industry, the consumer-generated content world, over the course of 2016 in this case. And that's where we got some of those stats about how content is still driving conversion and increasing order size and things like that. And it provides a really cool picture of kind of the state of affairs of CGC in 2016. So we're really excited to get that into market next week.
Great. This is actually interesting. A few years back, probably when the blogs were just getting started, everybody agreed that content was king. Then I think after a few years, social networks started and probably a lot of distraction. And then I didn't hear that a lot. But now it seems like that thought process is coming back and people are appreciating the value of authentic, you know, content and how much consumers actually value that.
Yeah, you know, I think marketing is really about the stories that you're telling, and whether you're telling those through, you know, a terrific, you know, 6-second YouTube ad, you know, that new format that they're doing, or telling that story with, you know, more robust content on your site. That is really like sort of what makes things come alive. And certainly this week at eTail, we've been hearing a lot of presentations that have kind of focused on that. I don't think content is going anywhere, and I think particularly when you start giving consumers a voice and let them talk about how they've experienced products and show you how they've used products and experienced products, you really can't beat that for, you know, kind of presenting an authentic and relatable story about your brand.
Right. So I guess the takeaway is content is very important. Just don't make it fake.
Exactly. Fake content, or even, you know, kind of the disingenuously, you know, constructed marketing content doesn't do anybody any good. We did a study a couple of years back with Forrester that said, you know, that kind of looked at, like, you know, how do people react to brand messages versus consumer-generated content, et cetera. And certainly consumer-generated content is, you know, very, very high on the trust index. So, you know, that's why we think it's so important to our clients.
So where is the growth path for Bazaar Voice? I mean, you already have, how many of the Fortune 100? I mean, maybe there's a couple left, but
yeah.
Where do you go from here to grow?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we've got a couple of exciting things coming up. So our advertising product is just getting started, and I think there's a lot of growth opportunity for the company there, certainly. That's really big business, and we think we have something that's really special in the advertising space, so that's one thing. The other two places that we're kind of focused on from a growth standpoint is making sure we have an offering that's right for smaller brands. So if you think about, you know, a family that's making really amazing hot sauce in their garage and selling it at Walmart and Target, for example, they are not ready to buy, you know, a big elaborate SaaS platform to put on their, you know, their website that they probably, you know, built in WordPress or whatever. But they are very interested in having content at Walmart and Target. So we have a solution in market now called Brand Edge that is giving them a way to do that at a very, very economical cost. And so that's an exciting one. And then the other one would be continuing to grow our retail network worldwide. So we do have a real who's who list in North America and in Western Europe and a growing footprint in Asia as well. But we have an opportunity to expand with retailers in both Asia and Latin America and have a place for brands to get their content to a much wider footprint, you know, kind of worldwide. So that's another place where we've been focusing for growth.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we'll touch base again in the future.
Yeah, that would be great. It was a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.